Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And our friend and yours, Steve Kalishevsky.
Good day, sir.
Good day. I love saying that. Kalishevsky. Hey. We'll say it again. Oh, my goodness. Listen, if you missed the first hour, you've got to catch the first hour. We're talking about Egypt. We're trying to put a timeline together for you to kind of tell you the story behind the story. But if you have not been awake this week, Egypt has removed their president, Muslim Brotherhood backed Morsi, has been removed. We just ended the first hour where we talked about in more detail and gave some context and some timeline to what has happened. You know, we have had recent developments where the millions of protesters in Egypt have literally gotten to the streets. I mean, they say this is the largest. Did you see the sea of people? Mm-hmm.
To see them all in one place. It's amazing.
It's huge. Yeah. Millions of people. And they thought that the Arab Spring, the original uprising, was something that was large.
Mm-hmm.
This had to surpass mm-hmm. that gathering. And they literally got together and said that, listen, we, on the anniversary, they actually removed Mubarak. They gave him 48 hours. Said, listen, you're either going to respond to the people, the military, they give him the ultimatum, or you're going to have to leave.
Right.
And mm-hmm. He refused. They removed him.
Yeah.
They removed him. He's arrested. The leader of the Muslim Brotherhood is arrested. Some of the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, they've actually got involved in clashes with the military. There's several confirmed dead. They've been shooting bullets and all that type of stuff. They actually burned down the headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood. But you got to understand that the Muslim Brotherhood didn't rise to power on their own. They were actually banned a little over a year ago from this country by the then President Mubarak, who was arrested and is now dead. And they were empowered by the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And they rose to power. They were invited in that Cairo speech. Listen, you want to listen to the first hour because we share in detail some of the segments in the past. We didn't even include all of them. This is only a two-hour program.
Yeah, right.
But there is segment upon segment upon segment about what has been transpiring in Egypt just in the last year alone. And remember that this is an organization that had a very serious creed. And the end of their creed, the goal of their creed was dying for Allah as their highest objective. That was their goal, dying in the name of Allah. Listen, this is an organization that hates Israel, and they have been removed from power. And we just thank God for the answering of prayer. We thank God that the Egyptian people are going to have an opportunity to reelect. And you're going to watch this thing closely. It's very volatile right now, the situation. I mean, it's very fragile. It's days old again from another, from an uprising. And you got to think about it. The United States has been given them $1.6 billion.
Right.
And they're actually reporting that the people in Egypt, unless something changes economically, they're gonna go hungry.
Yeah,
they bring in food to Egypt. So you want to pray. We have a lot of Christians in Egypt that were persecuted, were being persecuted, and we thank God. We thank God for the just awesome answering of prayer in this case. And who would have thunk that a year later, on Independence Day, no less, that Egypt would be flipped yet again?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I mean, you have Syria was continually going on in Syria, over 93,000+ people that have died in the civil war.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the right side of Egypt. If you're looking at Israel, if you're looking at Israel on the map, you got Syria conflict on the right hand side, and then below Israel you have what's going on in Egypt, and it's just so much changes. And then Iraq just Iran just had a new president, Rouhani, who they say, is going to continue with the same policies that the last president of Iran had, which was what? The removal of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They said style is different, but substance is still the same. Mm-hmm. So you really want to continue to pray for the region. Things seem to be changing weekly, mm-hmm. if not daily. And this, however, is an exciting thing that has occurred, and we're just thankful that God has responded for the Egyptians. And we believe that true democracy can take place and that the gospel of Jesus Christ gets spread unhindered mm-hmm. in Egypt. And join with us in this prayer. Amen. Well, you know, Steve, I know that you were talking and sharing with us. We didn't get a chance last week. You were mm-hmm. going to talk to us about spiritual vagabonds. And I know yeah. you've been reading John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan. Mm-hmm. And we've enjoyed that. We've been sharing on VFN Radio some of the things yeah. that spoke to you. Share with us, what are you talking about, spiritual vagabonds?
Well, you know, recently, last week, I was just sharing the last thing that God was speaking to me about, just as far as the process of getting your roots mm-hmm. and those storms in our lives and those times of difficulty and allowing God to work on us. You know, God is the potter's hands and we're the clay, and we just have to submit to what God's doing. And what John Bevere is writing about is the fact of if we don't submit to those situations, if we don't submit to those hardships. And this is what he talks about. He says, a believer who chooses to delight in the word of God in the midst of adversity will avoid being offended, because we can focus on the adversity and not on God's purpose, not on the word of God or what God's doing. He continues on. He says, that person will be like a tree whose roots search deep to where the Spirit provides strength and nourishment. He will draw from the well of deep within his spirit. This will mature him to the point where adversity will now be the catalyst for fruit. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was significant about that is he uses an analogy talking about the fact of Florida orange trees. Mm. The more difficult, the more hardship of the winter, mm-hmm. the sweeter the fruit. And it just made me think about that. It's just like we can get so caught up in the fact of the season we're going through mm-hmm. and miss out on the fact that God is preparing our fruit.
Mm-hmm. Can you say that again? Tell me about this orange thing now. What was that?
In Florida, those who are, let's say, like orange harvesters mm-hmm. or orange farmers, mm-hmm. those who are locals in Florida, they know that the more difficult, the harsher winter mm-hmm. will produce a sweeter orange fruit the following season.
Wow.
Because wow. the roots have had time to strengthen, to go through that time of adversity, and uh-huh. it produces a sweeter fruit.
Wow.
And it's the exact same thing what God does in our life, but what was focusing on me is the fact that if we choose to focus on the word of God amidst adversity, that adversity will be the catalyst for fruit. And on the flip side, this is where John Bevere was really getting my attention. He says, if we don't and we lose that place of focusing on the word of God, he says, you then become a spiritual vagabond. And that word just kind of leaped at me, and I was like, okay, that doesn't sound good, but what exactly is a vagabond? Because you really have to understand what a vagabond is mm-hmm. to understand the downside of this. And a vagabond is like means a few things. Wandering from place to place without any settled home, leading an unsettled or carefree life, a disreputable, shiftless, or pertaining to a characteristic of a vagabond. Having an uncertain or irregular course or direction. And we're talking about what a vagabond is. And it says, or a person usually without a permanent home who wanders from place to place. Or lastly, an idle wanderer without a permanent home or visible means of support. Hmm. And I just kind of thought about that. And it's just like, that's how we can end up if we're focusing on the hardship.
Right.
If we're not focusing on what God's doing. And back to John Bevere writes, he says, you then become a spiritual vagabond wandering from place to place, suspicious and afraid that others will mistreat you because we got offended in mm-hmm. those hardships. He says, crippled and hindered in your ability to produce spiritual fruit, you struggle in a self-centered life, eating the remains of the fruit of others. And I just just sat and thought about those moments where I just focused on when I got offended.
Right, we focus mm-hmm. on the pain.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, what God's actually doing, what he's producing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those good oranges you were talking about.
Right.
And the pain is our pride. The pain is, you know, my feelings got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that, you know, I remember someone used to say, you bring your toes in. Because I'm about to step on your toes a little bit. You know, our toes need to be stepped on a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? You
need to build some calluses up on
the
joke.
Yeah, you need to build some calluses on them because, my goodness, you know, if you're constantly offended by the truth, then you got to ask yourself, I mean, do you really want the truth? Do you want the truth? And the spiritual vagabond, what happened is that folks would go from place to place or from people to people because as soon as somebody got close to share.
And that's when they pull away.
Pull away.
And then move on to another place. And that's the biggest question is, do we want truth or do we want comfort?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Oh,
it's,
that's good. Say that again.
I said, do we want truth or do we want comfort?
Mm.
You know, I think about the scripture that says is that they wanted a word that their itching ears wanted to hear. And I think that's, I can't remember the specific scripture, but that's so significant because if we don't pay attention to, you know, God working on our lives and we just pay attention to those or we just pay attention to the hardships, we're going to lose sight of what God's trying to do because it comes down to the fruit in our lives.
Mm.
Because Jesus says, unless you abide in me, you have no fruit. You know, you're not part of the vine. And that's where it really, it all comes back to being offended. It all comes back to, are we focusing on ourselves? Because anytime that we find ourselves thinking selfishly, you can always trace it back to, where did we think that we got offended? Where did we think we were owed something?
Mm-hmm.
And it just continues to just build. Because John Bevere writes, he says, offended people still may experience miracles, words of utterance, strong preaching, and healing in their lives. But these are gifts of the Spirit, not fruits. We will be judged according to fruit, not gifting.
Mm-hmm.
A gift is given. Fruit is cultivated.
Wow.
And it goes back to that tree in the hard winter. And it's just like, we can be in the midst of a ministry, walking in offense, while a gift is given to us. And all the while, there's no fruit in our lives. We're living off of the trees around us. We're living off the fruit around us that are willing to have their roots strengthened and going deeper. And it's just like, God, help me to embrace you cultivating my life so that I can bear fruit for other people to grow on.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, God, help me not to be a spiritual vagabond. Help me not to get focused on comfort and just allow you to work truth.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Proverbs talks about how correction is the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, if you're not abiding, how can you possibly know what God is saying? And, you know, God will speak to us. He'll encourage you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll correct you. But if you're not spending, you know, time in God's word daily, how can you hear that? How mm-hmm. would you know that you're off unless you actually know what's the path you need to supposed to be on?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a process. We're you know, you need to be discipled. You need to be on a journey towards Christ-likeness. We're all on a journey towards Christ-likeness. And that's what a Christian means, by the way, Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And from the time that you give your life to the Lord and you start abiding and you begin a discipleship process, you need to be discipled. You're becoming more like the Lord, which means, like John the Baptist said, less of me and more of you.
Yeah.
And the things about us and the things that are not of God and, you know, that's gotten into the fleshly nature, those are the things that God wants to remove out of our life to help us so that we can be more like him. And we are more like him, not when we're operating in the gifts or when we sing an anointed song or we preach a great sermon or do something, you know, for God. We're more like him when we actually treat others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we actually see fruit in our lives that points to the fact that, man, wow, they walk with the Lord, not because of gifting or talents or anointings, but because their character has been formulated as such. You know, that segment that you're talking about, the title of it is Avoiding Hardships Can Result in Missing Your Destiny.
Yeah.
If you miss that, this is going to be related to On the Torch. Oh, what's so powerful about that is that you go through, if you're not willing to go through the hardships, if you're not willing to go through those seasons of molding and shaping and training, you can never have what God really has for you.
Yeah.
And so you see that from time to time, just hop, hop, hop. Don't bring the circumcision knife close. Mm-hmm. Don't bring it close because it's going to cause pain.
Right. But you just, like you're talking about the preparation and just, I mean, I think about the analogies, and so often we see it every day. And you think about the food that we eat. It has to be prepared. It has to be worked. It has to be made ready for us to be able to eat. And it's the same thing that we have to have spiritual food. It's just that God has to prepare us for our fruit to be ready to be eaten, you know, spiritually, in the spiritual sense, to help others grow. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we can't avoid the preparation. We can't we can't skip the process.
All right. If we want fruit.
Exactly.
Yeah, good, I mean, good fruit. You certainly can't. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's a difference.
You can't skip it. You can't skip it, but I know what you're saying.
It just doesn't end well.
But it doesn't end well. You're right. Right. Yeah. And you're not going to have what you want and what God has for your life. You know, John 15, it tells us, verse 5, you know, Jesus speaking, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. And get this. This is where it really hits home. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing. God has appointed us to what? Bear fruit, and fruit that clearly shows that we are God's disciples, that we belong to God. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, because even Jesus said, you'll know them by their
fruit. Yeah.
And it's important to go through the process. It's important to allow truth to be spoken in your life, and then take, you know, mm-hmm. run with that.
And not only receive it, but then apply it to your life and see where the areas of your life don't match up, and be willing to make those decisions and correct those decisions in your own life, those self-corrections, to be able to have your life reflect the truth. Reflect where it adds up.
Absolutely. And oftentimes when you see offense, what you're seeing is pride.
Yeah.
Because the offense is like, well, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, it's just being self-centered. It's the fact that at that moment you just now had a contradiction or a riff with hearing truth and what should be happening, as opposed to what I wanted to happen or what I think should be happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you sure this is really me? Are you sure? That's right. What the Bible tells us, mm-hmm. that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. Mm-hmm. And we really should be evaluating and praying in our time of prayer. How are we showing up? You know, there's a perception of, people have a perceived way of thinking of how they show up. And then there is an actual way that you show up.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that both of those are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your perception that you're showing up, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
to wherever, mm-hmm. is a certain way, that's your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in reality, you're showing up in a different way, yeah. which is one that's not bearing fruit that honors the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's not good. You're not living in reality.
Right.
I think about a time that, I mean, God has reminded me about many, many times, because it's so applicable in so many different situations. We came together as a family. And God gave me a creative idea to bring everyone together, where it was kind of an entertaining, like a game where we could have everyone involved. Well, I was speaking just for a brief moment, and then I moved into the other room to, you know, get a bite to eat or whatever. But I didn't even realize the fact that I totally separated myself from the family at that time, when it was my idea to bring the family together. And just through the love of God, was able to bring, you know, God brought those who were close to me to bring correction in my life and just show me what I just did. When all the while I was never open to it. It's like, no, that's not what I intended. That's not what that wasn't my intentions. But sometimes if we're open to it, when we are open to it, we can see that our intentions don't match what we did. Man, just because we intended differently doesn't mean that's what we did, because people are going to see what you did.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And that's powerful, because... Yeah. We judge others by their realities, not their intentions. But when it comes to us,
we look at our intentions.
Right.
We want everyone to judge us by our intentions and not our realities.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, people have used intentions as an excuse for whatever they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I didn't mean to do that, or that wasn't in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It may have not been, and maybe no doubt that it wasn't your intention, but the reality, the result, the fruit of what happened is still something happened.
Yeah. That's right.
Something did happen. And it's just a point in your walk with God where you just want to be humble. You want to say, God, you know, I want everything that you have for me. And be open to admitting that you're not there yet. Mm. You're not there yet. No man is an island. No woman is an island. Nobody stands alone. And thank God for brothers, sisters, pastors, ministers, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, mentors, someone in your life that's willing to tell you what others won't even tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. And there's a sharpening that needs to happen in our life. There's a cutting off that needs to happen in our life so that we can bear fruit. Listen, everything in the kingdom gets the knife. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're not bearing fruit, it gets cut off. And if you're bearing some fruit, you still get pruned. You still get cut so that you can what? Bear more fruit. Mm-hmm. But everything in the kingdom gets the knife. And if you're running from the knife, you're running from the very thing that's going to produce a fruit in your life that God wants to produce. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is a season that God's really showing so much. And we want to be in step with what God's saying and what God's doing. And guarding ourselves from being offended, guarding ourselves from moving in pride, and really to being open in humility and transparency. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we've heard that the definition of humility is total dependency upon God and respect for other people. And when you're total dependent, you're just trusting God for everything. There are no assumptions. You're not running into things. But you're slowing down to the pace of really understanding that if God doesn't do this, if mm-hmm. God doesn't do this, you understand, mm-hmm. It ain't going to happen. This is not, God has to show up. And it matters how we treat others. It matters how we treat others. I'll tell you what. Let's not get offended. Mm-hmm. Let's not be spiritual vagabonds going from place to place. But let's allow God to do what he wants to do in our life mm-hmm. so that we can have the fruit that he has created us and appointed us for.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. She was alone, living in an orphanage under rather cruel conditions and desperate to know that somebody cared.
And when I go to bed at night, you know that when nobody touches you, nobody hugs you, you want to be hugged. I don't care what people say when they say, don't touch me. Yeah, they want to be hugged. And at night, when I knew nobody was looking, and after the lights were out, and after I'd get the whipping, I'd put my arms around myself, and I'd rock myself to sleep, and I'd cry and I'd cry. And as those tears mingled down and soaked into the sheets and into the pillow, I was crying out, oh, if somebody would just love me.
As a child, Dory just wanted to be loved. And today, there are 168 million children around the world with that same heart cry. Now, maybe you can't adopt a child right now, but there are many ways to get involved in the orphan care movement. Learn how at iCareAboutOrphans.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
You know, John, I think back on, you know, when I was just going to tradition, and I felt like I was just going through the motions. And I'd just go spend an hour and then just continue on in my day like I was continually doing. When I met the VFN family and God encountered me, I wanted to tell everybody. And it seemed that I really didn't know how to express it and make it understandable. And we have the Vine Seminar to be able to share with others what God is doing by being the church, just being healthy family centered around Jesus. You know, and if you're interested and you want to find out more, go to vineseminars.org. and read about it. See what God is doing. And if this feels connected to you and you feel like you're, that there's something more and that you're searching for God, find out more at vineseminars.org.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, say so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused to the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, who are talking about, my goodness, you don't want to be a spiritual vagabond. Because a vagabond doesn't have a place, doesn't have a home. You know, sifting and shifting from place to place.
Wanderer, yeah.
A wanderer. Listen, when you don't have home, that means you don't have family, you don't have relationship. You know, relationships that count, relationships that mean something, all those relationships have actually gone through something, that there's a sticking power to them because they went through maybe some trials or some hardships, or someone helped us during a really challenging, difficult time in our life. And spiritual vagabonds don't have that to lean on. They just go from place to place. And they don't have any real, true, authentic relationships. And that's what's missing a lot so much, even in the church. I mean, the church, you know, the church is supposed to be a family, the family of God. But you see at large, a lot of spiritual vagabonds that are just going from place to place, gathering to gathering, and they're not allowing, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, roots to go down deep and to weather the storms. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when the church comes together, it really should be a hospital where people are coming to grow, to be mended. You know, we're getting fixed. We're getting closer and closer to be like the Lord. And that's our path. And when we get saved and we give our lives to Jesus, we want to be like him. We want to be just like the Lord. I mean, obviously, we're never going to be perfect and sinless like him. But my goodness, the things about him, we want to see his fruit and his character manifest in our life. We want to see the fruit, the Spirit, no less, in our life. And that's our journey. That's what we're on. Till the time that we're taken home, we want to be more and more and more like him. But what happens, what interrupts that path is a spiritual complacency, but also that it comes to a point in our life that if we're going to grow in God, you know, there are things that happen in the outer court that couldn't happen in the inner court. You know what I'm saying? The closer and closer we get to God, the less and less of us needs to be there.
Right.
And so God says, listen, it's an open invitation. I mean, come. But you can't bring that with you.
Right.
And there has to be a point in your life when you make a conscientious decision to say, I'm not happy to be in the outer courts anymore. I'm not happy to be around God and of God and just being present and being a part and enjoying other people's fruit. But I want to have my own fruit. I want to be in the holy place. I want to be as closest to God as possible too. I desire him. And we're going to talk about desiring God, hopefully, before the end of the hour. But I desire him. I want him. And what's so powerful about that is that in order for you to receive more and really, you know, get closer to him in the inner court, less of you has to go away. And the part of you that doesn't line up with God. And it takes courage, it takes desire, and it takes a willingness to go through the circumcision of the heart to remove those things so that true fruit can grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just powerful. Powerful. Don't be shiftless anymore. Don't go wherever the wind blows. You got another word. I think I got to go to another place.
God's calling me to a different ministry.
God's calling me.
That's the good one.
God's calling me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, God ain't calling you.
Be careful what you lay at the name of the Lord's feet.
Yeah.
I know, that's right.
I mean, my goodness. Have the fear of the Lord.
I know. God's calling you. Wait a minute. How could God be calling you? I thought God called you here.
Yeah.
And then now he just... tomorrow called you there. I mean, and what you'll find is that allow what instrument God wants to use. And you know what? Oftentimes you can't measure it by yourself. I mean, the Bible says, you know, those who judge themselves by themselves are not wise. You got to stop comparing your walk to somebody else's walk. Everybody's walk is different. Everyone has different processes and different things that have happened in their own life, and that, you know, different things have to happen.
Mm.
And be willing to say, you know what, God, whatever you want to do in my life, you, first of all, you don't have to run it through me.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it doesn't have to make sense. You know, it's like, who lays on the operating table and begins to tell the doctor, can you use that knife? I don't like that scalpel. Can you use the smaller knife? Can you use that instrument over there? No, you don't tell the doctor what you want him to use.
Because
guess what? You don't know. But we can't take that same approach when it comes to God.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I don't like that form of correction. No, not that knife. Do you have something smoother that can buff this area out? Yeah, I like the smooth buff. I don't like the. No, you need the 80 grit, bro. You need, you know, do that. You need the 80 grit here because this stuff needs to come on down. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the finer pad. I want the buffing, and that's a problem. So many people have had the buffing and the polishing. And it's like, there's nothing to buff here. It's like, we need to scrape this whole thing off and start all over.
Removed.
Yeah. There's nothing to buff. There's right. nothing to buff. And we got to get down to the core of what has to happen. And that's on my mind because I saw a video on refinishing floors. And I
wait. What?
Well, I saw this video.
You were doing what?
No. I saw this video on refinishing floors. And it just kind of just popped in there because... I was seeing them just scrape these hardwood floors.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these things were nasty, and they had issues. I mean, hardwood floors are really nice quality type of flooring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the top surface of them, either they were discolored, something had happened, they lost their shine or their sheen, if you will, and they just needed to be redone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It's amazing that just with a little bit of effort, the proper tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the proper application of sandpaper, the right one, because you can't use a fine sand. You need to use, you know, a heavier grit to do a better work. It was amazing how, I mean, just that whatever was there was just got removed. It was like it was like a cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the guy moving this machine just as he's moving from one end of the room to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Then once he was done, he decided to use a more finer sandpaper, I guess, to kind of smooth it out some.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of reminded me about some of the process that we need to go to. We're trying to wax a floor in our life or put some, you know, some of that solution, I forget what you call it, Murphy's oil on that thing and clean it up. And it's like, no, we don't need to polish that. That thing needs to be sanded down and start all over again.
And why you mention that, it's also important who's on the other end of that sander.
Oh, yes.
I mean, because you can sand something to death and burn a hole slap through it.
Mm.
That's true.
Or scar it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah.
And create unevenness.
Exactly.
In the wood. So, you know, when somebody's doing that to you, spiritually speaking, it's important that person's, you know, somebody that loves you and cares about you, not just anybody.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. Hopefully, you're right. You've taken the time to build relationship with somebody. Yeah. That you have someone in your life that would even attempt to pick up the sander.
Yeah.
I mean, That's the whole thing. Most people wouldn't even attempt to say, oh, no, that's fine. It looks good. Yep, put some oil on there. Put some Murphy's thing. It looks just great. Mm-hmm. I ain't bringing up that sander because it's a job. But because we love each other, because we in humility say, God, you know, we'll do our best here. We're going to help other people get to where they need to be so that they can have what they've always wanted to have. I mean, that's the whole thing. God is bringing us to a place, you know, but we got to be willing to allow him to bring us to that place. If not, we stay in kind of this nomad zone,
right?
You know, and this is where apathy and complacency and all this thing happens to us because, you know, at one point you don't want to, you're not going to go back to the world. Let's say you don't want to go to the world because you love the Lord, but then at the same time, you don't want to get close enough to the Lord for him to remove the obstacles and the things that are in your life. So where are you?
Yeah.
You're in a nomad's land. Really, you're not. I mean, you're furthering, you're getting further and further and further out.
Yeah. Well, I think about what you said too, Pat, about the fact that, you know, it really depends on who's on the other side of that sandpaper. And you can always tell the one who's been trained by that
sandpaper.
Who's
been under the...
Who's been...
The buffer or sander.
Who's been buffed, I guess you could say. who's received it.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't received it, you don't know how to...
Deliver it.
Correctly apply it, because a lot of times you don't pay attention to how it is on the receiving end. You can hurt somebody.
Yeah,
You said, and I think about in Proverbs 27, it says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." And you think about that, and it's just like sometimes we can receive something as a wound, but in the reality of it, that was love because it was speaking truth, it was speaking correction. That's that buffering, that sanding away in our lives, getting out what's not of God so that what is God can come to the surface.
Yeah, because oftentimes people will think that pain doesn't mean God. No. Your just feelings got hurt. It was God. It was God. It was just your pride that was hurt. Going through a process doesn't mean that you're not going to feel pain. Pain is that maybe we all pride. This is a great scripture you just read. I've quoted it many times, even for my own self. But, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Think about that. Faithful, how could you never associate, you know, a wound from a friend, and you don't ever associate kisses from an enemy? What is that? You know, they're kind of two different concepts on two different worlds. And the fact of the wounds from a friend is someone that actually is caring enough about you to say something or to help you. And, you know, they say truth hurts, you know, but you know what? So does getting a splinter out your finger. I mean, do you walk around staying with the splinter in your finger, or do you go through the pain to get it removed?
Take it out,
You know, or you think about all the surgeries and all the things that people go through. I know someone, I heard of someone, I didn't know them personally, but I knew someone who actually had this growth or something on their body that just kept hurting them, and they never went to the doctor and never got it checked out. And it's like, that's a clue that something's not right there. You know, not long after that, the person died.
Oh, wow.
But they weren't willing to go to, and there's a lot of folks like that are terrified of going to the doctor or terrified of getting surgery or understand that this is necessary. This is necessary. I didn't even think about even sheep that, you know, in biblical times or even now, I guess, where they're still training them, that if they wander away, I mean, the shepherd, because he loves the sheep, actually breaks the sheep's leg, you know, keeps them from running.
Oh, wow.
So that they actually don't go and kill themselves. Yeah. And he mends the leg and him. It's a last, I would imagine, resort.
Right.
But it helps the sheep or the lamb not to run on out and get totally destroyed. And it keeps that lamb close. And sometimes God will allow us to go through a broken process. Not because he wants to see us grovel or be in pain, but it's something about brokenness that allows us, that draws us close to God. It's something about being broken, hurt, contrite, crushed, that draws us low and close. And that's the place we want to be, low and close and open, so that God can do whatever he wants to do. Listen, surgery doesn't last forever. You know, the whole idea is so that we can get better and we can have more fruit in our lives to do everything that God's ever called us to do and walk with him. That's the joy. That we can walk together with God in greater areas and in greater ways.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. Get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about spiritual vagabonds, and we're discussing The Bait of Satan, a book that was written by John Bevere. I highly recommend it. It's a great book, and it's been great talking about some of the truths that John writes about in his book. But that's the greatest thing that, you know, Satan, bag of tricks that he doesn't have any new bag of tricks, but these bag of tricks are designed to separate close relationships. It's really, mm-hmm. you know, you can't get offended from maybe from the person across the street that you don't even know. I mean, you could, mm-hmm. but it's not a lasting offense. But the only those that are really closest to you and you have a relationship that you can actually get offended. I'm shocked and surprised that those that actually are clueless that you actually can get offended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I often say that, listen, I mean, these are folks, how about folks that actually get married? They say that they want to be committed. They're going to spend the rest of their life together. They're going to pay bills together. They're going to create a home and a family. And they say, this is the one person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. And 50% of those people say they went out. You know, and oftentimes there's a huge offense.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think that somebody else doesn't have that type of a commitment level in their relationship mm-hmm. is not going to be offended? And the thing about it is that you want to always default to love. You want to guard yourself from being offended. I mean, sometimes people, you know, you can be offended and there wasn't an offense at all, but you perceived it as an offense. Or you can legitimately have something to be offended about, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you just have to release it and let it go, because you're the one that's going to crumble underneath that. You're going to be the one that's going to suffer the consequences of that. And it's just okay to say, you know what? Nobody owes me anything. And I'm just going to give that to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that way you can be at peace in your heart.
Yeah, and you just got to stay, like you're saying, you got to be vulnerable and allow yourself to just fall in the hands of Jesus himself,
mm-hmm.
knowing the fact that he's the one in control. Because mm-hmm. we can try to defend ourselves or try focusing on where we were done wrong or how others dropped us, knowing that it was Jesus that was holding us all along.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The question is, you know, whose hands are we trusting in?
Mm-hmm.
Ours, others, or Jesus's?
That's right.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. Well, you know, I wanted to share before the end of the extra hour, you pursue what you desire. You know, many of us are familiar with the scripture of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, you know, that speaks about, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. And that's been quoted quite a bit, and it's really amazing. I remember the first time I heard that scripture and thought, God, you got plans for me? Wait a second. Hope, you know, stop the press. I want to hear all about these plans. Because
mm-hmm.
I had some of my own plans, but I found out that God's plans were better.
That's right.
Far better. But oftentimes what gets missed or not seen is a beautiful scripture in verse 13 that says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I mean, that's so powerful. I mean, there's so many right now that are envious of others and their relationships with God. And the truth is that you can have as much of God as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You really can.
Yeah.
But the concept is, you know, you can find God.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. You can find God. But you got to seek him out. And it's not just about seeking. You'll find God and connect with him when you commit your whole heart toward that pursuit. That's what the scripture says, is you will seek me and find me. Because you can seek and not find, but you will seek and find me
mm-hmm.
when you do what? When you seek me with all of your heart, when you pursue me. And the word pursue means to chase after someone, to follow in an effort to overtake them, to capture them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I think about that, it just makes me think, wow, man, that's so awesome. There's something in our heart that really causes us to pursue, to run after things.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about today, there's people pursuing a job. You know, if you don't have a job, I tell you what, you're pursuing one. You're going after it. Mm-hmm. You're going on interviews. You're looking up job opportunities. You're getting your resume together. You're doing all these different things because you're in hot pursuit after a job or a career. Some people are hot pursuit for an education. You know, they're going to do what they have to do, and and they went to high school, and they now they're going to college, and now they want to get a master's, and now they want to specialize degree, and now they got a JD because they want to be an attorney, or they got a PhD because they want a doctorate, and they're pursuing. They're running hard after it. Pursue means that you're running. It doesn't mean that you're like casually walking or, you know, skipping. You're hard after it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a chase on. There's an intensity often fueled by a passion.
Focus.
Yeah, focus. Yeah. Some are pursuing love. They just want a relationship. I just want someone to talk to. They just want someone to spend time with, you know, and they're pursuing love, the ideal mate, if you will.
Right.
And they're pursuing hard. They're pursuing status. They're pursuing money. But the question is, I mean, who's pursuing God? You know, you can pursue God. And when you pursue something, you pursue that, you pursue it because it's the object of your desire. You pursue it because it's something that you really want. I mean, everybody can remember that. That was something that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a child or something, you wanted that thing, you were going to get that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was, but you did whatever you had to do to get it.
Right.
You know, when I was young, listen, I wanted baseball cards or whatever it was. I didn't care what I had to do. I mean, I worked and I did all kinds of stuff. When I was young, I mean, I used to get up at 5:30 in the morning to deliver a newspaper every morning. In the snow and all this type of stuff,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to have, you know, $30 a week that I got paid. $30 a week. And I look back and think, I can't believe that I got up at 5:30 in the morning. You know, it's like, I don't know, 14 or something like that. And, you know, get up there at 5:30 in the snow. Yeah, I had to go, like, when they used to drop off the newspapers.
Was this every day?
Every single day. And the Sunday paper?
Wow.
And the Sunday paper.
Dude, you were a madman back then.
Oh, my goodness, dude. The Sunday paper, you had to stuff it.
Uh-huh.
And then when it snowed, the people that would drop the paper off first thing in the morning, I'd hear the truck come by my house.
And you went to school?
And I went to school. Listen, and I worked after school. Well, that's another story for another day.
My goodness. Wow.
This is a kid that was in pursuit, man. But they would throw the paper. It was in a huge bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be buried in the snow. So I'd spend 15, 20 minutes finding
where
the newspaper was.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And I look back, I think, why didn't I sleep that extra, you know, especially up north when it's really cold and you wake up, you don't want to leave your warm bed for nothing in the world when it's freezing, you know? And I just look back, but that was that time in my life. I was a kid that wanted stuff and I wanted to go get it. And I was in pursuit, and I probably was in pursuit for baseball cards, just to buy a whole bunch of them, you know, but the chasing after and the running after them, if you will, it wasn't a big deal because I had a desire. I had an objective. And the word desire means to wish or to long for, to crave, a deep and compelling wish for something. And it's very important that when it comes to a relationship with God, if you're not running after God, if you don't have a pursuit for him, you don't have a desire for him, you're never going to run for him. You're never going to run hard. And many people today are experiencing spiritual boredom because they got complacency.
Mm-hmm.
They're complacent. They've kind of figured it all out. They've allowed themselves to get a lot of spiritual head knowledge, mm-hmm. biblical knowledge, but they don't have personal relationship with God. And let me tell you something. You can come to a point in your life where you say, listen, everything in my life's got to go. But I'll tell you one thing that can't go. You know, I got to have God.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to have God. If you're bored today in your walk, you got to ask yourself, how hungry are you for God and the things of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be entertained more? Think about it. The same couple of hours you take out to do whatever, watch a movie, you can actually spend time with God. But let me tell you something, all you're going to have these days, and really all you really have is at the core is a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 27:7 says, he who is full loathes honey, but even to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture is so powerful because you think about the person who is full, they can't eat another thing. I think about Thanksgiving sometimes around my house. And you're so full because you overdone it. Yeah. If someone comes out of the kitchen and says, oh, don't forget, we have a pumpkin pie. You're like, pumpkin pie? As much as I love some pumpkin pie, much as I love a piece right now, I can't even think about one more thing because I'm about to throw up.
Right.
I don't recommend eating like that, you know? But, you know, if that's ever happened to you, if not, share that with a friend, you know.
No,
I'll confess my stuff right here, you know. But you loathe. Loathe means you're just disgusted. You're repulsed by just one more thing, even though you know that it tastes delicious to you. So he who is full loathes honey, something that's delicious. But even who the one that is hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet.
Right.
And if you're hungry, if you're really, really hungry after God, you'll settle. You'll take anything.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a harsh word, a good word, whatever word you like, man, I want everything that God has for me. I want to encourage you today. Matthew 7 says, listen, ask, seek, knock. If Jesus tells us that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be open. That's a promise to us, letting us know that if we pursue, if we go after, if we're engaged, we're going to get a response.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a response. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like going after Jesus. There's nothing like pursuing him. You can start by abiding. If you have an abide, don't know what that is, you can get a simple plan. You can request it at iabide.org, and it's a plan how you can spend daily time with God. But let me tell you something. You don't have to stop at just abide. You can continue to abide. I mean, you don't have to stop just in the morning time of sharing God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You can abide with God continually and have a heart that wants to pursue him. Because when you're in pursuit of God, you'll find out that he will pursue you as well. And it's just a back and forth, you know, tag, you're it, if you will. I want to read that scripture again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I want to encourage you in your pursuit. Chase hard after the heart of God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.